1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Lawmakers on Capitol Hill have released a sexually suggestive birthday letter to Jeffrey Epstein that they say was written and signed by President Trump. He calls it a fake. CBS's Scott McFarland.
In late August, the House Oversight Committee subpoenaed some of these records to include the birthday book shared with Jeffrey Epstein. Those subpoenas were provided to the committee, according to Democrats.
The Supreme Court's cleared the way for the Trump administration to resume sweeping immigration raids in L.A. Chandra Bhatnagar heads Southern California's ACLU.
The government, and now the concurrence, has all but declared that all Latinos, U.S. citizens or not, who work low-wage jobs are fair game to be seized at any time.
New federal testing data shows the reading skills of high school seniors has hit a 33-year low. Their math scores the lowest since 2005. Experts say it's another consequence of too much screen time. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The first human case of West Nile virus has been reported in Wood County this year. Local health officials warn that you still need to continue protecting yourself against mosquito bites as we're entering the fall season. While 80% of people who are infected with West Nile virus don't get sick, those who do experience mild symptoms such as fever, headache, muscle ache, rash, and fatigue. Less than 1% can get seriously ill. Older adults and those with compromised immune systems are at greater risk of developing serious illness that could be fatal. West Nile virus is most common in Wisconsin during the months of August and September. United Way's Day of Caring happens in October. In 2024, 462 volunteers raked 88 yards for elderly and disabled community members. United Way is looking for volunteers to help with fall leaf raking. You'll need to register online by October 24th. Free t-shirts will be available on a first-come, first-served basis for volunteers who register early. If you're under 18, you must have a parent or guardian complete a waiver form. Now, this event is intended for low or fixed-income elderly and/or disabled residents who truly need the help to clean up their yards. If you need this assistance, be sure to register with the United Way by October 10th. You can call them at 715-421-0390 between the hours of 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. You will need to provide volunteers with paper leaf bags and or instructions for leaf disposal in accordance with your municipal rules. Please also make sure that any pet waste and trash is removed from your yard before the event on October 25th. You can find out more and volunteer at uwswac.org. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Brewer baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Game two of the Brewers and Rangers tonight in Texas. Milwaukee losing last night 5-0, but one bright spot was the return of Christian Yelich to the lineup. Yelich had missed the past five games with a bad back. Pat Murphy after the game.
He's on it. It was a great day for him. Came up kind of empty, got one hit, but he had two other balls that, you know, they're homers in some parks.
NFL, the Packers host the Commanders on Thursday Night Football. I asked Micah Parsons how he was holding up after just a week to get ready for the Lions game.
Physically, obviously draining. That was like my first game of just constant snaps, repetition, things like that. So obviously I got to, you know, recover, do everything I need to do to get ready for Thursday. But emotionally, I couldn't be more happy, you know, to get my first win in Lambeau, having amazing fans. You know, I told J-Lo that's our first one, and I can't wait to keep stacking them.
That's Packers defensive end Micah Parsons. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A nice looking September day once again with a mix of sun and clouds, a tad on the breezy side, high temperatures in the mid-70s. For tonight, a slow-moving front may generate a shower or a thunderstorm. Low temperatures in the mid-50s. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
from Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin travels to Tuscaloosa to take on Alabama. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
A handshake deal with a South Dakota senator to fund public radio. What could go wrong? Brian Wadsworth of Native Public Radio joins us.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
It's 8:06 now. Good morning. Nice to have you back here up north on this Tuesday morning, September 9th, 2025. Parker Olson producing us down there in Madison Studio A2. Coming up, our Tuesday tag team of Capital Corridor Correspondents with Cam Stevenson standing by live in Washington, D.C. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area covering the Wisconsin legislature will join us at the bottom of the hour. But first, let's get a quick update of the weather forecast from meteorologist Brittany Merlot, where yesterday's picture perfect sunny, breezy conditions have been replaced with clouds and some rain, especially the further north you go. It just looks a little messy up there this morning on the shore.
It sure does. Flash flood warning in the Ashland area still for another hour and a half. Highway 2 got about 1.5 to 3 inches, and there's still more rain on the way today. Also, a beach hazard statement from Door County through Sheboygan. High waves and rip currents out there, about 3 to 5 feet. What we're looking at this morning, 45 degrees in Wetumpka, 54 in Milwaukee, and 64 degrees in Eau Claire. So a 30-degree temperature spread. Clear skies south in the state, more clouds north in the state. We've got showers going on up north that are going to continue through this afternoon and then become more widespread as we go through this evening. Now that's going to stay north in the state, Madison, Milwaukee area. You're not looking at any rainfall until possibly tomorrow morning, but I do think a lot of that's going to dissipate and not even make its way to you. So rain up north could be heavy at times, no severe storms. Highs today in the mid-60s north to mid-70s south.
But then we get summer back.
We do. As soon as Thursday and into Friday, we're looking at highs hitting 80. We're going to climb to the mid-80s over the weekend. Mugginess returns. Summer weather for sure.
I don't think I've ever used this term for the weather, but that forecast is luscious.
I
love it. That's great.
Yes.
It's still summer. Let's bring some. Make summer summer again. There we go.
Yes.
Thank you, Brittany. Have a
You're
wonderful
welcome.
Day. We'll talk to you later. Again, a reminder, sign up for our newsletters, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the top banner. And by the way, if you missed anything that we did over the first 2 hours, you can pod this program. Head over to Spotify right now and follow us. Maybe Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. And that way it's always on your device, always handy. We are in a world of subscriptions right now. So subscribe to this show. And then when you're done with that, get over to Substack, because there are things to subscribe to there as well, like Below the Beltway, the newest newsletter from Courier Newsroom. You can also find it at beltway.news, done by Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom, who is our newest correspondent up there on Capitol Hill and joins us this time on Tuesdays going forward. Cam, good morning. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right, Pat. Thanks for having me on today.
Hey, you know, and you're getting all settled in. You made the move from Arizona over the summer. There wasn't any too much of a hazing ritual by the Capitol Press Corps or anything. They've welcomed you with open arms, I hope.
More or less. There's still the the occasional at the stoplight they'll look over, rev their engine, then go in reverse. But sure. Other than that, things have been pretty friendly.
All right, good. Glad to hear. So Cam has come to us after years at the Copper Courier in Arizona, and so he's got a little bit of experience in law enforcement and racial profiling. The kind of thing that's not supposed to be a thing. And as I mentioned earlier in the morning, what in my mind is an earthquake of a decision by the conservative justices on the U.S. Supreme Court. It should be a big story all across, and that I knew we were going to wait until you were here to get to it. The short version is, in my words, the six justices on the U.S. Supreme Court in a shadow docket ruling mean they've said nothing about where this ruling came from in terms of being placed in law. We don't know where they're coming from a legal standpoint, but at least temporarily, they have said when it comes to racial profiling for the purposes of these immigration raids, hey, fine with us. That, racial profiling has made some kind of a comeback. And Cam, you've had some experience with that in Arizona.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's first the use of the shadow docket is such a cowardly way to go about this, which is where they put out an order, but they don't put their names to it or give any distinction as to what this order actually means as far as our Constitution. So is racial profiling constitutional now? Have they changed the Fourth Amendment? We don't know, but we do know that they are allowing law enforcement to racially profile in Los Angeles right now, which in previous constitutional law, previous Supreme Court rulings have declared this to be against the Fourth Amendment, which is the right to not be unreasonably searched and seized by the police or by law enforcement. Whereas previously, this was seizing someone based on their race, based on how they looked, was unreasonable. And the current Supreme Court no longer thinks that, apparently.
No, and the funny thing is, you've heard the term search and seizure for years and years and years, and you always focus on the search part of it. We're now at the seizing part of it, where without necessarily any cause or any due process, people are literally being seized off the streets in a dragnet. And then the burden is on you to prove that you're here legally. It's the papers please kind of authoritarianism that we thought was impossible to bring back in this country. And yet it's here. And Arizona, of course, had a notorious sheriff who, got his hand slapped legally more than a few times for some of his practices.
Yeah, he was once known as the toughest sheriff in America. He was one of Donald Trump's first pardons back in 2017.
The Joe Arpaio pardon. That's right.
Joe Arpaio. He's the one, and he was pardoned based on some of the he was being held in contempt for a continuation of these practices, where there was a law passed in Arizona back almost 20 years ago. It was called SB 1070, is the Show Me Your Papers law, where police could stop anyone for any reason and demand to be seen documentation for proof that they were a documented resident, whether an immigrant or a citizen or anything. This went through a ton of court battles, where eventually the Supreme Court ruled that this was unconstitutional, that people couldn't be stopped just based on how they looked. And Arpaio and his sheriff's department were found to be racially profiling. Now, that didn't stop them from doing it for years and years while it was making its way through the courts. But what it did do is have some very, I would say, unintended consequences for the right in what these Show Me Your Papers laws did is the same thing we're seeing now in Los Angeles, where it's igniting thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people into activism, where they don't want this. They don't like this. They don't like being racially profiled. They don't like their friends being stopped. They don't like, when they're going out with someone, just to go get dinner or something, for their friend to say, hey, do you think you could drive because you're less likely to get pulled over because you're white? Because that's the sort of thing that happens. And so what these blatantly immoral laws, whether or not the Supreme Court deems them to be constitutional, but these immoral laws breed activism. And in Arizona, we have seen an incredible surge of people drawn away from the right and towards progressive policies because they saw their parents getting arrested. They saw their friends' parents or their teachers going to jail or having to go through the court system, not because they did anything wrong, but just because of the way they looked.
Right. And that's the point. And what you're hearing from the Trump administration is, well, if they're here legally, they don't have anything to fear. And Justice John Roberts, quite shamefully, had said that, well, this is not a major inconvenience, because obviously for a white guy like him, he won't have to go through being slammed to the ground and having to prove that he's a citizen after being detained for hours, if not longer. And yet this is the kind of thing that John Roberts and others have been backing up. We also have our Sunday newsletter with a question of the week. And this time around, it's about the Epstein files. And we ask, is Donald Trump protecting himself? Is he protecting someone else? Or is he blackmailing someone else? And Cam, I know we started to talk about this last week with Congress back in session. The Trump administration is trying to wish away the Epstein files. But as of today, it's still very much a live topic on Capitol Hill, why the Trump administration isn't releasing more information.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, first and foremost, I don't think it has anything to do with a moral quandary. I don't think Donald Trump feels guilty about anything in general ever. Least of all this, hiding past transgressions. I think for him, it's more about power and control. He's someone who enjoys controlling the news cycle, controlling the narrative. He likes having that power. That's why he enjoys the highest position in the world. Isn't because he likes to be diplomatic or he has an interest in governing, but because the world is forced to pay attention to him. And this, what is happening with Jeffrey Epstein's case and people's frustration with it, is it's a narrative about him, but he doesn't control it. And so I think first and foremost, he just wants it gone because it bothers him that he can't have that control. I think there is potential for blackmail. I think that's why he had, or his Department of Justice had, you know, 1,000 FBI agents go through the files that they had gotten on Epstein, both redacting his name and making lists of any other names that are in there. I think that's useful for blackmail. That's useful for coercion. And it's useful for power and controlling the narrative, which, again, is, you know, his favorite pastime.
Cam Stevenson, national correspondent for Courier Newsroom, is talking to us live from Washington, D.C. on this Tuesday morning. The Rose Garden is no longer a garden. I wondered, now that it's essentially been, you know, bulldozed over and being used for, you know, dinners where the corruption is kind of right out there in the open, as you see Donald Trump trying to enrich himself. But I wondered, have there been alternative uses? Have you been invited yet? Like, are they doing roller skating around the patio now or anything like that? I mean, that was almost surreal, even by Washington press corps standards, watching the Rose Garden turned into just like Mar-a-Lago North and just being used as a patio dining set.
Yeah, well, I can tell you what it's not being used for. It's not being used for free meal programs for low-income families or as temporary housing for the people who Donald Trump has pushed out of the district because they didn't have a place to live. But it is a very symbolic location now for wealth and for the upper class, and as a symbol that the White House is a purchasable good, being able to gain favor. If I remember correctly, this renovation, I guess you call it, or even the ballroom they're building, it's not paid for by tax dollars. It's something that special interests can donate money to essentially gain favor with the president. And right. So it's, you know, it was a rose garden for the people, and now it's a walled garden for the elite.
It really is. And people go, well, you know, private dollars are paying for it. Now, there's some things you don't want private dollars paying for because of the potential for corruption. You can read more from Cam Stevenson in Below the Beltway, the newsletter that you can get at beltway.news or through couriernewsroom.com. Cam, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
All right. Sounds good. And coming up in 15 minutes, we're going to be talking to Dan Schaefer, from the Recombobulation Area, covering Wisconsin state government as well. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Here up north, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Transforming your land with a John Deere compact tractor is as easy as connect, latch, load, haul, spread. Cutting grass is as simple as roll, click, mow. Box blading is as effortless as hook, lock, grade. And backhoeing is as convenient as turnaround, switch, dig. Because when you've got the versatility to tackle just about any job and dealer support in your own backyard, you just have to get in the seat. Find the right compact tractor for you at JohnDeere.com.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Learn more about what we do at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapid Support, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this September 8th, 2025. I have your host, James, here. We're joined right now by our friends from Big Brothers Big Sisters of Central Wisconsin. We have Beth Konert with us, Director of Operations. Beth, good to have you with us.
Good to see you.
We were talking in our pregame. It's been too long. It's great to have you back. You know, the door is always open for you guys. Love hearing from you and love being able to inform our audience about the great work you guys are doing over there. Journalistically, I will mention, I was a part of Big Brothers Big Sisters in California, and it was an incredible experience for me, one I never forget. And I am completely biased about this organization. Love the work that you guys are doing. And really do love promoting and talking about this.
One of the many reasons I love coming to visit with you.
One of the things that we want to make sure to cover with this, and while for you and I, Beth, this is a very familiar topic, we're very familiar with this organization, I want to make sure that everybody out there is on the same page and knows exactly what you are doing over there. So can we talk about the mission a little bit of Big Brothers Big Sisters?
Absolutely. So Big Brothers Big Sisters is the oldest and largest one-to-one youth mentoring organization in our country. Last year, we celebrated nationwide our 120th anniversary, which is awesome. And our overall mission is just to create and support one-to-one mentoring relationships that ignite the power and promise of youth.
You know, we're going to be celebrating our 85th anniversary in November. We thought we were old. We thought, yeah, we're kids compared to you guys.
Yes, you really are. It's really, I mean, you're looking a little spry there.
It's so cool to think of when you think of this program and this group or this organization existing as long as it has. Mm-hmm. I'm a sucker for history. And a while back, I looked at, well, How long has adoption been around? How long has, you know, things like this, things like that been around? And yeah, it's been around as long as there have been human beings.
Right.
As long as there have been people, there have been people adopting a child or taking a child in or looking after. The term of it takes a village really is about as old as there's been people.
Right. Because truly, as human beings, we need connections. We mm-hmm. need to feel supported and have somebody believing in us and just being by our side.
It also speaks to the importance of these of an organization like this, and the importance of that contact, that humanity to mm-hmm. it, and also a nice reminder with it being September to have you all in, because September in particular.
Yes, September is Big Brothers Big Sisters Month, so we are very fortunate as an organization overall that we get to celebrate a full month of what matters most to us, and that's that everyday mentoring. It's connecting those children that just need a positive role model with someone that can be in their corner and be that defender of potential and just hang out. And it's as simple as really being connected for just 1 hour a week.
Defender of potential is a phrase that I want to be out there all the time. Mm-hmm. I want people to know it, like just do it or something like
yes.
that. It's such a great word, a great phrase. It's one in particular I think that almost everybody can adopt and use, whether you are a wannabe or you are a big brother, big sister, or you're a parent, or you are literally a big brother or big mm-hmm. sister or little brother or big sister. It's something that we can all embrace.
Absolutely. Because truly at the end of the day, every child has the potential to be successful. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to your point of it taking a village. You we know parents are trying their very best. We know that teachers are doing everything they can to instill great things in our kids. But there's all those other aspects of mm-hmm. just giving a child that one-to-one undivided attention in simple ways like playing a board game, doing a card game, doing an arts and crafts, sitting down and having a conversation, or even just tossing that football around mm-hmm. and being like, hey, did you see that Packer game yesterday? Mm-hmm. Or like, man, what happened there? Mm-hmm. those back and forth conversations of just checking in. And it's truly that simple.
It's important to keep in mind as well with that and everything, and just piggybacking on what you're saying there, Beth, is that children, we hear the phrase all the time, their brains are sponges. Mm-hmm. They truly are taking in all of this.
Everything.
So, how you handle yourself in front of them or the things that you do when you're with them or anything like that are particularly more important sometimes than you may realize.
Absolutely.
And that is just another reason why when we talk about an organization like this, and especially in the month of September, where we're really celebrating Big Brothers, Big Sisters and what that means, mm-hmm. literally everybody out there hearing this can be involved.
Everybody, because everybody has some life experience that they can bring to the table. And truly, we match completely based on interests and personality. So like if you're one of those people that loves to build things and put things together and figure it out, we have kids that love to do that too. If you are super active and love to be on the go, we have that. If we have kids that are like super chill and just be like, hey, I just want to hang out and have a conversation, we can match that as well. So there is every aspect that you can imagine, obviously with putting child safety in the forefront as our first and foremost priority.
The young boy that I was lined to with Carlos, he and I was very nervous because I'm like, what if we don't have anything to talk about? Or what if he doesn't like the things I like and stuff? And I didn't realize some of that. Yeah. I had it explained to me. I just had forgotten it because I was so nervous. Carlos wanted to be, and God, I hope he went on to do this, but he wanted to be a dancing magician.
That's awesome.
It's so cool. I'd never heard of it before. We talked, like I would say at least the first half an hour was about that. And then we got talking about me and what I did as an actor right. and all those things. That's why I was out in California. And mm-hmm. it was such a cool experience for both of us. And I'm going to bring this up whenever I can when we're talking about this subject. We are looking out for these kids. We want to help these kids and Absolutely. Give them mentorship, give them life experience, give them a good life moments and everything. But don't miss this part of it, everybody, that it is just as impactful and can mean just as much to the big brother or big sister.
Hands down.
I guarantee you this. Like, it really is.
In all honesty, I am living proof of that because I started as a high school big sister and now many, many years, I won't put a number because that makes me feel very old, but many years ago, I started in that capacity and I loved it so much that it helped me determine what I went to college for. And then I went from being an intern in another Big Brothers Big Sisters affiliate to now getting to sit as director of operations and have pretty much done every role in between that. And, you know, so that's why whenever I try and go into recruitment or talk to somebody about what it means to become a big, you know, I always say, I'm not saying this as director of ops because, yes, I get paid to do that. But I'm saying this as someone who has had two amazing little sisters who I know went on to conquer the world and do amazing and big things. And I got to be just a small piece of that. And that's awesome.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin Democrats have introduced a package of bills they say would benefit workers. Savannah Tome Olson reports.
Most notably, if passed, their plan would repeal Act 10. The controversial law, championed by then-Governor Scott Walker, curbed collective bargaining rights for public sector employees. State Senator Mark Spreitzer.
This proposal will restore workplace fairness and ensure that those who benefit from union representation are contributing their fair share so that we can build strong unions that can make sure we have good wages and working conditions for everyone.
The bills would also strengthen laws against misclassification. That's basically where employers can call their employees independent contractors when they're really not. Democratic lawmakers say that can have a wide range of impacts. Businesses can avoid paying payroll taxes and unemployment, and they don't have to provide health and safety benefits. Larry Statz owns his contracting business. He says companies that misclassify their employees are saving so much money, they're able to undercut businesses who are following the law, like his.
More and more competitors have adopted the illegal business model of misclassification, where they mislabel their actual workers as independent contractors. They avoid paying taxes, Social Security, workman's comp, and unemployment benefits, a responsibility that honest employers like us take on every day.
This package of bills would also reinstate prevailing wage laws. Republicans repealed Wisconsin's in 2015. All 60 Democrats in the state assembly and state senate have signed on to these bills. However, because they don't have the majority, they're unlikely to go anywhere without Republican support. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
And I'm Melissa Kay. You're listening to WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Last week, I said that summer blockbuster season at the theaters was officially over, but it appears that no one told The Conjuring last rites. Prognosticators guesstimated that the film would pull in roughly $80 million worldwide. The film opened in first place this past weekend, surpassing the predicted amount in the U.S. alone with $83 million and pulled in $187 million worldwide. Good for the third largest opening ever domestically or globally for a horror film. For Warner Brothers, this was their eighth number one opening of the year and the seventh film in 2025 that has opened with a take of more than $40 million, something no studio has ever achieved, according to Deadline. Hamilton opened in limited release and came in second place with $10 million, and it was more horror as Warner Brothers' Weapons came in third place and now has raked in $143 million in 5 weeks. Freakier Friday and Caught Stealing finished in fourth and fifth place, respectively. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A nice looking September day once again with a mix of sun and clouds, a tad on the breezy side, high temperatures in the mid-70s. For tonight, a slow-moving front may generate a shower or a thunderstorm. Low temperatures in the mid-50s. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Green Bay's own Frank Hermans. Just a bit outside, director Sean Hannish joins with big news and the Green Bay Film Festival's Nick Watier. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Tomorrow on the program, in our homeroom segment, we're going to talk about a new campaign that helps taxpayers understand just how much the private school voucher scheme is taking out of their wallets and out of our hometown schools. Heather Dubois-Bornon will be along to do that with us. Let's see, we'll have Amy Berlew from Clean Wisconsin on Wisconsin's data center boom and the environment. We'll be checking in with our civic media friends, and we got lots of them. We got Melissa Kay in Wisconsin Rapids. We got Jim Koska in Boscobel, James Kelly in Chippewa Falls, and Earl Ingram from Milwaukee will tell us what's happening with the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast. All of that tomorrow here on the program. But today, we have Dan Schaefer, civic media political editor from the recombobulation area down there in beautiful Milwaukee, where the Milwaukee County executive in the Wee Smalls made it official that he is now a candidate for governor. Dan Schaefer, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Kreitlow. I am doing well, and it is always wonderful to join you here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
We appreciate it so very much. And so you will obviously have more familiarity with David Crawley than we will up here in the Chippewa Valley, though Crawley was here about 2 weeks ago visiting an affordable housing program that's up here and talking a bit about what he's done for affordable housing. And he said, you know, that a decision was coming in the next few weeks. So clearly we are now in the next few weeks where David Crawley becomes the second Democrat running for governor, along with Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. So, Dan, as the person from that corner of the state, how would you give us your 30,000-foot view of the county executive, David Crawley?
Yeah, David Crawley is somebody I have a very positive opinion of from being here in southeastern Wisconsin, being in Milwaukee. I actually, in the very early days of the recombobulation area, I endorsed David Crawley in the race for Milwaukee County Executive after doing a series of interviews with all of the candidates. And Crawley really, you know, ran as a bridge builder, trying to bring Milwaukee County together, trying to solve some of its big problems. And I think in the last 5 years that he's been at the helm in Milwaukee County, he's done a terrific job. But I think as far as being, you know, a statewide candidate, I think, you know, someone from Milwaukee always is going to have some sort of baggage about being from Milwaukee when it's running a statewide race. Candidates from around here, you know, can be painted with a certain brush. And I do wonder if his name recognition outside of the southeastern Wisconsin market, where I think he is well known and well liked, is going to be the same as some other candidates who might have a little bit more of a statewide presence. So, but I think, you know, he's somebody that I wrote a piece about the potential candidates who might be running for governor at the recombobulation area last month. My too early look at the race for governor. And I talked about David Crawley a little bit. And I think, you know, of anyone on the Democratic side who is running for the race, anybody who's running for governor, really, I think David Crawley has the highest upside of anybody potentially running in this race. I think he is a potentially very dynamic and interesting candidate. And I'm excited to see what his message is going to be and how voters respond to him once he really hits the campaign trail.
Yeah. Now, Crawley, who is 39 years old, is vying to become the state's first black governor. Rodriguez would be the first woman elected to the post. And they would both tell you that is neither one of those. That's not why they're running. Crawley says he wants to be a governor for everybody. He wants to focus on lowering costs for families, affordable health care and housing, fully funding public schools. The Associated Press write-up notes that Crawley grew up in the 53206, the zip code that a 2013 UWM study found was the most incarcerated zip code in the country, with the majority of men who live there having spent time behind bars. The area is known for high rates of poverty, a high concentration of vacant lots, and poor health care. And Crowley does not shy away from that in his launch video, which we may listen to in a little while here. But he leans into it, talks about his family once being homeless and then becoming a community organizer. And we have seen a growing share of folks, Dan, from the 53206, who are saying, I don't want to be tagged as just that. There is so much more that our community can do, but somebody's got to be fighting for them, you know, out beyond the boundaries of their zip code.
Yeah, this is, you know, a part of Milwaukee. Milwaukee, obviously, as we know, is one of the most segregated cities, major cities in the country. It has some parts of the city that battle really extreme poverty, experience a lot of gun violence. And, you know, this 53206 neighborhood has been really kind of the heart of where a lot of these problems lie in the city. And I think David Crowley has talked about growing up in this neighborhood. Mandela Barnes has talked about growing up in this neighborhood. Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson has talked about growing up in this neighborhood. And I think it is shaping a generation of new leaders in the city who have grown up in this type of environment and want to make a difference. And yes, I think David Crowley is not shying away from that. I think he's got a pretty interesting personal story. You know, getting involved with some nonprofit organizations in Milwaukee after growing up, you know, in kind of a difficult situation. I believe his family was evicted from their home a number of different times living in the city, but he found his calling in public service and has, you know, really been a rising star in Milwaukee politics for the last decade or so. He was a state assembly representative for a number of terms and then ran for county executive in 2020. And what a time to begin that job, too. But yeah. But at the same time, I think, I think he can stand out in a field of potentially large field of Democratic candidates that we might be seeing here as somebody with executive experience. And I think that is something he's going to lean into as well. You know, some of the other folks who, you know, might have, might be in the legislature or whatever it might be. The fact that he's run the most populous county in the state for the past 5 years, I think is something that is going to afford them opportunity to stand out. And again, like you mentioned, he's 39. He's a young guy. He's an energetic guy. He's very personable as well. And, you know, I did an event with Crowley a couple of years ago in Milwaukee where it was like a live podcast interview that we did at Anodyne Coffee at Walker's Point. And before he came on stage to talk with me at that event, he stopped at every single table and introduced himself and was cracking jokes. And I think he's a pretty dynamic retail politician, too. And it's going to be interesting to see how people respond to him when he's getting around the state for this campaign.
We are talking to Dan Schaefer, the political editor for Civic Media and founder of The Recombobulation Area. You can subscribe to that over at therecombobulationarea.news. Crowley at 39 would be one of the younger candidates in the race. You've got Sarah Rodriguez, who is 50. Potential candidates, Senator Kelder Royce is 46. Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes is 38. Attorney General Josh Call is 44. You've got Washington County Executive Josh Shulman on the Republican side, who is 43. And then you've got suburban Milwaukee businessman Bill Berrien, who is 56. All of that by comparison to Tony Evers, who is 73. And you, of course, Dan, are quite familiar with the whole notion of Democrats and passing the torch. And so whether it's one of these younger Democrats or one of the younger Republicans, you know, we are seeing a bit of a generational shift at the tops of tickets in politics these days.
Yeah, and I think it's a welcome shift in a lot of ways, and an overdue one in a lot of ways. You know, I think there were statistics, particularly about the U.S. Senate, showing that it is as old as it has ever been. I believe the statistic that I dug up when I was writing that piece this year, there are more senators over the age of 80 than there are under the age of 50 and in our politics, and I think that needs to change. I think part of the problem with having older politicians is you know, you failure to connect with what younger generations are looking for in their politics. And I think we're seeing this divide between, you know, millennial and Gen Z politics and some of the boomer politics of the past. And one of the real fault lines in our politics is this generational divide that I think some older politicians have not spoken to. So I think for younger people, for younger families, I think having younger candidates that have can understand the issues that people are facing is really a benefit. And I'm really interested to see how that plays out.
Well, there's nothing beneficial about the flash flooding that hit Milwaukee. It is, from a timing standpoint, it works well for Crowley in this way. He has been able to highlight what the county has done in the wake of the flash flooding damage. The ball is now in the court of FEMA and Donald Trump and the whims of Donald Trump in terms of declarations and things like that. Crowley targeted Donald Trump in his launch video, as did Sarah Rodriguez, who called Trump a maniac in her launch video. And so, Dan, in the race for governor, which is going to be seen as a midterm referendum on the Trump presidency so far, is it smart politics that any Democratic candidate is also throwing some punches Donald Trump's way?
Definitely. Yeah, I think it is. You know, clearly, everything that's happening in American politics right now is going to be viewed through the prism of what's happening with the Trump administration. And as the one big, beautiful bill starts rolling downhill, I think we're going to see some really damaging impacts of that. You know, we saw some polling on the bill earlier this week, and it was way underwater. Trump's approval rating is very low, you know, and we've seen time and time again that when he is not on the ballot, that does not drive turnout for Republican voters. And so I do think, you know, Wisconsin being the swing state that it is, it's going to have all eyes on us for any kind of statewide race. You know, obviously, this is a little bit different than it might be for like a U.S. Senate race that might have the obvious more national implications. But it's still Wisconsin. And it's still, you know, we saw how much attention was paid to us for the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Obviously, it's going to be a similar type of dynamic for the midterms as well as we look ahead to the governor's race. And so everything is in the shadow of Trump, as much as we might not like that so much.
No, but it is. And it's been that way with every presidency. And there's a lot to talk about with this presidency that any candidate on any ballot for any race is going to be asked their thoughts and whether they essentially stand with Trump or do they, you know, bow to fight for, you know, their constituents rather than the whims of a president. So there, you know, there's really not that much downside to mentioning the president. And especially one that is this far underwater, basically. We're talking to Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area here. And just a couple minutes before we take a break, which is probably all the time we should probably leave for it, but there is drama in the Assembly Democratic Caucus. One of the members is no longer a member of the caucus. And that's fine with many of the other members of the Assembly Democratic Caucus. And I can say, from having been in the Senate Democratic Caucus, or anybody in any of these legislative caucuses, you don't always all work and play well together, especially if there is, shall we say, a character amongst you.
Yeah, there's been a lot of issues surrounding Milwaukee area State Representative Sylvia Ortiz-Velez, who had her access to the Capitol restricted after some, it sounds like some threats that she made to fellow Democratic legislators. She has since left the Democratic caucus, giving them one fewer Democrat in the ranks there. Fortunately, the margins are not so tight as they this does not no longer give Republicans a supermajority the way it may have under previous gerrymandered maps. But yeah, this is I believe there's going to be more information on this coming soon. It's a pretty wild story, you know, and the fact that she has left the Democratic caucus over this. Not leaving, you know, she's still a Democrat. She has actually endorsed Sarah Rodriguez in the race for governor. But the fact that she is leaving the Democratic caucus among, you know, these growing tensions with some other fellow Democrats there, it's a pretty wild story.
Yeah. And look, you can say that you are prone to engaging in hyperbole, and that's fine. But when you mix that with, you know, making references to weaponry, that can be a real problem. And that is one that, again, is dealt with in plenty of other workplaces as well. And you try to take those kinds of threats seriously. And that they're just some things you don't joke about. We're talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger,
This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
You've probably heard about investors who got in on the ground floor of a company that grew to be a huge success. But successful investing isn't about luck or genius. Instead, it's about building durability. Here are some suggestions. First, think long term. Most investors make their money over time, not overnight. You'll want a well-diversified portfolio of quality investments and plan to own them for the long term. Next, invest in quality. For stocks, quality is often measured by the steadiness of earnings and dividend growth over time. For bonds, one measure is an investment-grade credit rating with a relatively low risk of default. And finally, build a long-term strategy to provide a roadmap for your investment choices. You may want to make changes periodically, but do it for the right reasons, like changing goals or tolerance for risk.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
I cannot believe it's almost fall already. Where did the summer go?
I know, it flies by faster every year.
Well, I suppose you better start checking off the fall to-do list before you know it.
Shh, don't say the S word.
Snow?
Yes.
We live in Wisconsin, honey. It's coming. But we have to get the furnace checked. Remember that awful noise it made last year? Who should we call?
Your parents just had Tri-City Services install their new AC and said they did a great job. Let's call them.
All right, let me Google them. Wow, they have a 4.9 rating. And their website is calltricity.com. Easy to remember. Wait, they do plumbing now too?
Call Tri-City Services now to get a free quote on a new heating system. Visit calltricity.com or call Tri-City Services at 715-423-5840 today to get a free quote on a new furnace and receive $480 off. Or call for a system check before it gets cold. Remember, calltricity.com.
This one goes out to the elder millennials. We're not as flashy as those other millennials and not as grungy as Gen X, but our music deserves another listen. Burn Before Listening features hits, no, we can't read a deep cuts, goes, and some authentic cringe. This is how you remind. From 2000 to 2009, Burn Before Listening on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, Sundays at 9 p.m.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Got some Brewers baseball for you tonight. Coverage begins at 6:30 as the Brewers take on the Texas Rangers in game two of their three-game series. The Brewers were blanked yesterday for only the 11th time this season, 5-0. Jose Quintana was perfect through the first four innings, then not so much. However, the Cubs also lost, so the Brewers could clinch a spot in the playoffs today. Their magic number is 2 to get into the postseason. Their magic number is 11 to clinch the National League Central Division, and the magic number is 12 to have the best record and the number one seed. So you might want to keep on listening to the Brewers taking on the Rangers. Again, 6:30 this evening is when the pregame gets started. We're talking to Dan Schaefer now from the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media political editor. And we spent the first segment talking a bit about David Crawley making the announcement that he would be running for Wisconsin governor. But there are other topics out there as well, other candidacies, including Secretary of State, because Sarah Godlewski is running for lieutenant governor. Right. So where are these pieces starting to fall together, or are we still way too early in the process?
It's early in the process, but we're seeing how some of this is going to the domino effect of some of these candidacies. So because Sarah Rodriguez Our current lieutenant governor is running for governor. That will leave that lieutenant governor spot open. So Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski going from Secretary of State to running for lieutenant governor. And now we have a couple folks running for Secretary of State as well. One announced yesterday, Colin McNamara, who's from central Wisconsin, Stevens Point area. He launched his campaign. He says he's been an active member of the Portage and Waupaca County Democratic parties. He ran for state Senate unsuccessfully against a Republican incumbent in the last cycle. And then we also have Milwaukee alderperson Jocasta Zamarripa, who launched her campaign last week for Secretary of State. She's currently on the Milwaukee Common Council. And she served in the Wisconsin state legislature for several terms in the 2010s as well. So, you know, we're getting a couple candidates making the run for statewide office. Maybe we'll have a primary. Who knows? It's very, very early, but interesting to see some of these candidates getting into the mix here.
I think that all Democratic voters need to get used to the idea of showing up next August for their primary. Not just for governor, secretary of state, perhaps for a lieutenant governor, maybe attorney general, but also for some legislative races. For example, in southwest Wisconsin, in the 17th state Senate district, which is currently represented by Republican Howard Markline, who's co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, there's already one Democratic candidate, and that would be State Representative Jaina Jacobson. But I know that child care provider Corrine Hendrickson from New Glarus, who has now had to shut down her child care center, a longtime advocate for child care support in the state budget, had been considering a run for state Senate, also in that 17th district. And Dan, you and I saw notes that a campaign committee registration had been filed. Now, that does not necessarily mean that you're about to announce a campaign, but, you know, you're starting to get your paperwork in order. And I can say that Corrine Hendrickson will be with us 1 week from tomorrow to make some kind of an announcement and does have an event planned. So the upshot of all this, Dan, is that Democratic voters probably need to get used to the notion that there will be multiple primaries come August that they need to weigh in on.
Yeah, primaries are not a bad thing. I think the Democrats have avoided primaries in certain respects to their detriment. And I think we have to get back to a place where people having these conversations are able to be critical. And I think there is kind of this iron sharpens iron quality that can come from having these competitive primaries to get you ready for the general election stretch run when you're going to hit with you know, all kinds of, you know, super PAC ads and crazy attacks and whatever it might be. But I'm very interested to see what Corrine Hendrickson is going to do next. And she is somebody who's been a guest columnist at times at the Recombobulation area. I'm certainly familiar with her work advocating for child care. She was really the face of child care advocacy in Wisconsin for the past few years. And you know, I'm really very interested to see what she's going to do next. I imagine that, you know, There may be more high-profile candidates. There may be candidates who have better paths to victory. No one is going to outwork Corrine Hendrickson in a campaign like this. She is a dedicated person, that's for sure.
Yeah, some of us were, you know, we first saw her in testimony before Congress on the issue of child care. And I think a lot of people were very happy to see her take on that role as being a leading spokesperson on the issue. But as she has told us on this program, that connects to every other issue out there, and she has certainly talked about those connections. And so when she is with us 1 week from tomorrow, it may be quite possible that she gives all the specifics on what it is that she wants to get into next. We've got about 2 minutes left here, so that's just enough time to talk about. We talked about the drama in the Assembly Democratic Caucus, but the Assembly itself is meeting. The fall session is getting underway in earnest, so again, some non-budget bills are going to be considered. Are you following anything in particular?
Yeah, there's a few things working through the assembly right now. The Senate doesn't seem to have anything on its calendar. I don't know if they're going to be doing anything between now and the end of the month, which would be a real problem for those homeless veterans facilities that are need funding to stay open before the end of the month. So hopefully the Senate gets back in gear and schedules some things too. But the Assembly has a number of committee meetings this week and also a floor session on Thursday as well. I believe they are taking up at least three bills that have already passed through the Senate. So some stuff might actually be getting over the finish line in the Wisconsin state legislature and, you know, not in the budget cycle here. So we'll see what exactly that's is going to come from that. You know, and then I think they'll be voting on a number of bills and we'll see if both chambers of the Wisconsin state legislature can get some things done here in the fall.
Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. Sign up at the recombobulationarea.news. Dan, thanks so much. Have a great day.
Thanks, Pat. Be well.
You bet. Coming up on the Maggie Dawn Show at 5:30 this evening, we will hear from Stacey Abrams, former candidate in Georgia, being part of CapTime's Idea Fest and the work to defend DEI against ongoing attacks. Again, that's coming up at 5:30. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Thanks for being a part of things here on our mornings powered by Up North News. You hope you have a great Tuesday. We'll see you at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning right back here up north.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. An Israeli official says the IDF has just carried out an airstrike on Hamas leaders in Doha, the capital of Qatar, where a loud explosion has rocked the city. In Gaza City, residents loading up cars and trucks and leaving after Israel issued a full evacuation order, warning of an expanded military operation to weed out Hamas. The White House vehemently denies it was President Trump who wrote a lewd birthday message to Jeffrey Epstein, contained in a sketch of a nude woman. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Also included in the Epstein estate release, a birthday message apparently written to Epstein by former President Bill Clinton in 2003, years before Epstein was convicted of a crime.
New Mexico will become the first state to offer universal child care. Crystal Romero owns an early learning center there.
Our staff are going to be able to receive a living wage that's going to be able to provide a better lifestyle for them.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah.